So this morning, I want to take you on a unique journey into the world of Lego.
Ooh, love it.
These colourful building blocks, they've been the source of creativity for generations. And Lego is a Danish company. And while we might know them for their iconic little plastic bricks, they actually started out as a wooden toy manufacturing company. And it's only in the late 1940s that they switched to plastic. This guy called Ole Kirk Christensen, who actually started the Lego company. He was a carpenter, he had a small carpentry shop, and he wanted to make things that people could enjoy. The name Lego, it comes from a Danish phrase, leg got, which means play well. The same words, ironically, in Latin means I put together.
Wow.
Language is a wonderful thing, isn't it? The first plastic bricks were made in 1949. The modern Lego brick design was patented on the 28th of January 1958. Wow. It's crazy that the design of the original brick has largely been unchanged longer than I've been alive. It's meant to ensure that there's compatibility between Lego sets across generations. That it can be something that can be passed on, passed down, given to someone else. And the pieces will always fit together. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our lives were like Lego blocks? Always fitting together perfectly, snapping into place, clicking to perfection. There's over 600 billion Lego bricks that have been produced since Lego first started. And apparently, on average, there are 86 Lego bricks for every person alive on Earth today. 86. I don't know how many Lego bricks we've got hidden around our house, probably quite a few. I know my grandson, he absolutely loves Lego. And if he wants a toy, give him a Lego set and he is happy. He'll sit there for hours with the little guidebook, putting things together and making it perfect in his sight. Lego is so popular that it's estimated that 7 Lego sets are sold every second around the world. That sounds like a lot, doesn't it?
Yes.
But it is estimated that every second in this world, 50 Bibles are sold or distributed. So there's more Bibles given out every second than there is Lego. Minifigures. You must have seen the little Lego minifigures. When I started having Lego when I was a small child, they didn't really look a lot like people. You had a head that sat upon Lego bricks, but now you've actually got things that look like people. You can get spacemen, you can get gardeners, you can get train drivers, you can get builders, and they all look like they're supposed to look. Lego first produced its minifigures in 1978, and since then they've made over 8 billion Lego figures. That makes them one of the most largest people groups in the world.
Oh, dear.
Be honest, you've probably met someone over the years that has the personality of a Lego figure. I've worked with people like that. Bless them, they were plastic people. Yeah, there's a few of them out there. So 6 billion tiny little figures. Currently, there's about 2.4 billion Christians in the world. That makes Christianity the largest religion by population. Now, estimating the total number of Christians who have ever lived is extremely difficult, because there's various things that get in the way. Now, historical records. Many early Christian communities did not keep records of their membership. I mean, now Elim expect us to record a little register every week so that we know who's been here. But back then, they didn't do things like that. The geography. Christians have spread to every corner of the globe now. It's difficult to track the growth of the modern church or the decline in other religions. Jesus's great commission of going all the world and preach the gospel started when we had radio invented, and now that the internet's there, literally you can be on a beach in the middle of nowhere and you can listen to a Christian podcast. You can attend a church service virtually. I mean, lockdown taught us that you can still be part of church without being physically in a room. People have converted to and from Christianity over the years. It's hard, again, to keep track of the numbers. But some scholars have attempted to estimate the total number of Christians who have ever lived. And while Lego may have produced a large number of plastic figures, it's estimated that over the years there have been approximately 10 billion Christians throughout history. That's a lot of Christians. Now, okay, not every Christian is a born-again believer. Not everyone who calls themselves a Christian is actually a Christian. Jesus himself said, there'll be those who say to me, Lord, Lord, and I'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. In many ways, that to me is the scariest verse of the Bible. You've got people who think they're living according to God's ways, but they're behaving like these plastic people. They are not real in their faith or in their desire to really know Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Let me talk to you about Lego in space. Lego made it to space in 2011. NASA actually sent Lego kits to the International Space Station to see how they would behave in microgravity. This was an educational program. Seriously. They thought it would be a great idea for the astronauts who have got nothing else to do than float around on the space station to play with Lego. Forget about doing any other kind of experiments. They were just playing with Lego. Lego's made it into space and so have Christians. Buzz Aldrin, the second person to walk on the moon, he is a church elder and he's written extensively about his faith in Jesus. Then there's John Glenn, Jim Lovell, Mark Kelly, Mae Jameson. They are amongst other Christians who have demonstrated that faith and science can coexist. And it's possible to be both a devout Christian and a successful astronaut. I was born in 1969. Man landed on the moon for the first time less than a month later. And people have been trying to escape from me ever since.
I'm trying to say it.
You're trying to discover the truth about it, yeah?
Yeah. Lego theme parks. Let me talk to you about Lego theme parks. They opened their first theme park in 1968 in Denmark near the company's headquarters. And since then, Legoland theme parks have opened in multiple countries, attracting millions of visitors every year. Now, based on available data and estimates, it's actually billions, not millions, of Christians that attend church every year. There's regular attendees, there's those who will only go on special occasions. But there's a rich history to Christianity. There's a rich history here to Lego. Both have had a global impact. Both have had a cultural significance. In many ways, Lego is far more than a toy. And Jesus is far more than a story.
Yeah.
There's fun, there's creativity in Lego. We can learn some profound lessons from it about our relationship with God. So I've got three lessons for you this morning. The first one is that the foundation matters. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. When building with Lego, the foundation is crucial. If the foundation isn't stable, the entire structure can fall apart. Friends, our lives as Christians need a strong foundation. A foundation that's built in faith in Jesus. There's no other foundation for us. There's no other solid rock on which we can stand. In this passage, Jesus is teaching about the importance of building our lives on the solid foundation of his words. Just as a house built on rock stands firm against the storms, a life that's built on Jesus' teachings will remain strong and firm when trials and difficulties come. The Greek word for foundation in this context is themelios. It means something that's put down, a substructure, something that is firm. And building our lives on Jesus involves us doing more than just hearing his words. Yes, we need to listen, but we need to apply his teachings to our daily lives. All of us will have a favourite verse. All of us will have something that we cling to. But the difficult words are also important. When God calls us to be holy because he is holy, when God tells us that we need to put him first in our lives, the foundation of truth is so important. It's what keeps us going. It's what sustains us. It was Rick Warren who said, "A life built on God's word is stable even in the midst of the storms of life." Friends, do you know that to be true for yourselves? When everything seems to be going wrong, when the world seems to be against you, Jesus is for you. God is for you. And he's promised he will never leave us, he'll never forsake us, and that his grace is sufficient for us in every circumstance and situation. Think about a child building a tall Lego tower. Without a strong base, that tower will fall. Our lives need a firm foundation. Our lives need to be built on Christ. We need to build our lives on his teaching. And when we do that, we will stand firm. Second point, every piece has a purpose. Has anyone put together a Lego set recently?
Yes.
Complicated.
Yeah, we bought our grandson a Lego set when he was with us a couple of weeks ago, a little Lamborghini car. And the finished model is only about that big. For the purpose of people listening, it's about 12 centimetres long, maybe less. And there's so many pieces that have to be put together, pieces that actually end up hidden and that you can't see. And you wonder, well, why did they bother with all those extra bits? I suppose in many ways it's just to make you feel like you're getting more for your money. Because Lego ain't cheap. For a bit of plastic, you'd think it shouldn't cost that much. But there's great satisfaction when the things are actually built. And my grandson, bless him, he was doing a kit that was for, I think, children about 4 or 5 years older than him. And he was doing okay. But there were occasions when the illustration of what was supposed to happen didn't actually make sense. It's like they missed a bit out, or they assumed that you would know what to do before you got to that point. And on a couple of occasions, he gave me something and said, "It doesn't fit." And I had to pull it all apart and try and work out what went wrong. There's certain things in our lives that don't fit. And we need to allow God to actually pull those things apart and remove them from us, so that we can be built according to his way and his purpose. 1 Corinthians 12:18, "But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it." In a Lego set, every piece, no matter how small, has a specific purpose. It's got a place in the overall design. Each piece is vital to completing the model. And Paul says that we, as the body of Christ, each have our place, a unique place. Every one of us has a role to serve the Lord in different ways. For some, it could be on the sound desk. For others, it could be expressing their voice in song. Other people might be financial wizards and are able to create a budget for our church. Everyone has got a place. Everyone can do something for God, even if it's just smiling at someone else that's in church when they arrive, or during the social and refreshment time afterwards. Every one of us can do something to make someone else feel welcome and part of the body. Every Lego piece, it contributes to the final build. And every believer contributes to the building of God's church. every one of us. Praying for someone who's unwell. We don't even need to be in church to do that. We're still the body, even when we're not in the same physical room. The Greek word for parts is melos. It means a limb or part of the body. And Paul emphasises that every believer, regardless of our role, regardless of our function, regardless of our job title, we are all essential to the health and the growth of the church. We need to value each other, each other's contributions. We need to try and work together in harmony. Even when someone rubs you up the wrong way, you need to love them because God loves them. Now, let's be honest, that's hard at times, isn't it? I mean, how many people do you know that are perfect? Apart from yourself, one, yeah.
Jesus,
thank you. He was the only one who was ever perfect. So why do we expect perfection from someone else? Well, God should be working in us and through us to change us and transform us and conform us to his image. But none of us are going to be perfect until we get the glory. We're all a work in progress. John Maxwell said, teamwork makes the team work. But a vision becomes a nightmare when the leader has a big dream and a bad team. May Jesus never say that we're a bad team. Think about a complex Lego set with hundreds of pieces. Each piece, even the smallest one, is essential for the project to be complete. In the same way, God has a unique role for each of us in his plan. We need to recognise that we have value to our Lord, that we have value to each other, and that we are all part of the body of Christ. Together, God actually sees us as beautiful, a beautiful design. Scripture refers to us as his masterpiece. I've said it before, some of us are beautiful Rembrandts. Others of us, Picasso. Yeah. Yeah. And Picasso on a bad day. But God calls us beautiful. Third point, creativity reflects the Creator. Genesis 1:27. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. There's no ambiguity in that, is there? We were created in the image of God. The image of his personality, his creativity. We are a reflection of who he is. Now, the world would say, nah, it's random evolution over a period of millions or billions of years that made Paul who he is today. Yeah. Notice the Lego guy on the screen has got a beard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just checking for the
love
of the
edge. He's got no hair
though. No. God has infinite imagination. Look at the variety of things that he's created. From the weirdest looking creatures in the depths of the sea to the weirdest looking people in this room. No. You know, from the highest mountain to the depths of the sea, God has created. Whether it's animal, vegetable, or mineral, God has created it all. He is so incredibly creative. And he calls us to be creative as part of his creation. Being made in the image of God means we reflect his attributes. And one of those attributes is creativity, ingenuity, innovation. Those are all things that God did, does, and will continue to do. Solomon once wrote, there's nothing new under the sun. And in many ways, that's true. But in the last month alone, in the Amazon rainforest, explorers have discovered something like 8 new breeds of frog and about 12 different kinds of spider that have always been there. They didn't just suddenly evolve into existence. God created them according to his plan, according to their kind, according to his purpose. And the fact that we're only just bright enough now to start discovering these things, that's the problem. The Hebrew word for create in Genesis is bara. It denotes something new, something different. The divine attribute is mirrored in us. When we repent, when we turn to Christ, we're born again. We're made new. We are different from what we were. And as born again believers, we should reflect the image of God to the world around us. We should embrace the creative abilities that God has given us. Every ability that God has given us, we should use to glorify Him. Francis Schaeffer once wrote, "The Christian is the one whose imagination should fly beyond the stars." Is your imagination limited to just what you think is possible? To just what you think you can do in your own strength? Or do you trust in the God of the impossible to work in you and through you? Think about the endless possibilities with Lego. You can build castles, spaceships, entire cities. God built everything that we can see. And even things that we don't see. Our DNA, our RNA, the bits, that the protons, the smallest particle that you can possibly imagine. God's created. And God wants us to bring Him glory. God wants us to bless Him and to bless those around us. Let me bring it into a close. Through these simple lessons from Lego, we learn some profound truths about our faith. We learn the importance of a strong foundation in Christ. The foundation really does matter. I've met many Christians over the years who don't have a strong foundation. They say they love Jesus, but then they never ever read His word for themselves. They never attempt to discover what it is that God has said and is saying to those who follow Him. Let's never be like that. Let's always be willing to be transformed by the truth of His word. That foundation, may it never be shaken in our lives. And every piece has a purpose. Each of us as individuals have value to God. And we should have value to each other. May God help us to never take one another for granted. And to remember that each of us has a place and purpose in His church. And let's our lives, let them reflect the creativity of God. Let's be people who do, rather than people who just sit. Throughout this world today, there are people in churches that are there to keep seats warm. They're not there because they want to hear the word. They're not there because they want to draw closer to God. They're simply going through a religious exercise. Friends, let's be people who love God for who He is and for what He's done. Let's be thankful that He has saved us, that He's brought us from darkness into His marvelous light. He's the one who created light and darkness. And He's created you and me for a purpose. So let's build our lives on the rock that is Jesus. Let's recognize and honor each unique role within the body of Christ. And let's pray that God will help us to unleash God-given creativity so that we can build the church, reach the lost, and see people saved for Him. Yeah. Friends, this week, may I encourage you to commit to building and continuing to build on the strong foundation that is Jesus, the strong foundation that's His word. Let's appreciate one another. Let's reflect our Creator in everything that we do. And let's be willing to build our lives so that they glorify Him and so that we make an impact on the world around us. Lego, it's not a book in the Bible. But there are principles that we can apply to our lives. So let's seek to build kingdom. Let's seek to build God's church. And let's seek to build ourselves up in faith and knowledge that we might serve our King, our Lord, and our Saviour. Let me pray. Father, I thank You for Your word. Thank You that it's a living word and that You speak to us every single day. Help us, Lord, to remember the truth of what we've heard. Help us to fix our eyes upon You. And help us to build our lives on You in spirit and in truth. Amen. Amen.